This interview was recorded for the International Bomber Command Centre Digital Archive, which owns the copyright for this performance.
My name is Chris Brockbank, and I'm at Aynhoe near Banbury in Oxfordshire, talking to Air Vice Marshal Peter Latham and his wife Barbara, and we're going to talk about his experiences in the war and afterwards. So, Peter, if we start with your earliest recollections and move on from there, what do you remember first?
Right, well, my father's a plumber, and we, as it were, lived over the shop, very much in the middle of Birmingham, an area with hardly any domestic people living there. Family.
The business was all at the back of your house, wasn't it?
Yes.
The yard at the back.
Yeah. I was an only child. We lived very much in a built-up part of Birmingham, where we kept all the ladders and all the things that were used in the business. School, I was at school at St Anne's, which is a Catholic school in Bradford Street. Just put my design.
Corner of Ulster Street and Bradford Street.
That's right, yes, yes. Mine's gone blank.
So that was a grammar school?
No. Junior.
A junior school?
Junior school.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I got a place at the Catholic Grammar School in Birmingham.
St Philip's.
Yes, yeah, St Philip's Grammar School. We were. We had quite a bit of bombing around there, there was bombing going on. We were in the usual place down in the cellar, and the local policeman came down and said, "Could we come out because a bomb had landed in the." In the church roof, huh? And it was three stories, the height of the church roof, and we were actually working on it, you know, just doing straightforward domestic work, and the policeman came and dug us out of our cellar, said, "Could we come along because a bomb had landed on the roof." In fact, almost exactly where our ladder led up to. So we went down. They'd been trying to put it out with a...
Stirrup pump.
It didn't... It required a little bit of scientific knowledge to know that there's no way you can raise water three stories with a stirrup pump. But anyway... So we went down to see what we could do, and obviously questions of carrying buckets of water. But we got down there with the policeman, the local vicar, church vicar. They were coming around, but he was really gone, and he was pacing up and down, using. Very, very priest-like language, and the policeman, we were only Catholic, he looked at me and said, "Father, remember your cloth." He said, fuck my bloody cough. This is more than a bleeding joke. anyway, I joined the Air Force. Didn't take any part in the business.
Don't miss out your grammar school days, because that's when you went into the ATC.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
I think you did it through the school, didn't you? And you were a corporal when you actually finished at St. Philip's and going off to Cambridge.
Yes, that's right. RAF joining, why not the Army or the Navy? I'd always been interested in flying, so that was a reasonable choice. Also, the school had got either a flight or a squadron, and so I just took part in that. RAF career.
What age did you leave school?
Mom? 18, darling. 1943. And because of your exam results, you got a place at Cambridge, and because the war was on, you went into the RAF as a recruit, Cambridge recruit, where you did half-time work, university work, and half-time RAF work. That's what you told me about it.
Oh, right.
Only 6 months.
Yeah.
That's all. With the understanding that when the war was over, you could go back.
Return to college.
And take up your degree again.
Yeah.
Which Peter didn't.
Why did they let you go to university when the war was on and not full-time train you for flying?
There must be an answer to that.
No idea.
Anyway, you were in the University Air Squadron.
Yeah.
And how often did you fly on that? Were there days of the week or any day?
It's awful, isn't it?
Never mind. We can cover it later. So after 6 months, you then went to full-time training, did you?
As I understand it, you had a short while where they didn't want any more flyers, you told me.
Oh, that's right.
And for a short while, you went to, was it Cat Fossil? Where, I don't know, I think it's written in your book. You went somewhere where you became a duty driver. You drove motorbike,
that's right,
dispatch rider.
I was a driver.
I think it was at the very back. There's something about that very short interim.
Yeah.
I'm sure you told me it was... Is Cat Foss the one at Blackpool?
Yes.
I'm sure you told me it was Cat Foss you were.
So you went to Blackpool for your initial training, did you?
I don't think you were actually training then. I don't think you'd...
This would be ground training.
Yeah, this was sort of halfway between finishing the permitted short course and going into the Air Force. So this was going into the Air Force. But then for some reason, you actually got called up or called forth to join the first group of young men who'd been to one of the universities on the same type of course as you to start course one at Cranwell. This is all that I remember Peter telling me in the past.
Yes.
And so he was on one course, the very first. They wanted post to get one. Cranwell going again.
Yes.
And so they chose from the young men who'd been at university.
Right. So one of your early experiences was in the middle of 1944,
yeah,
when you went to Brough.
Oh, yes.
And you were doing initial training on a tiger moth.
Yes. Brough is near Lincoln, I think.
It's near Hull.
Hull,
yes.
Yeah.
Right. So you learned on the tiger moth.
Yeah.
So did I. And this was your initial flying training, really, was it?
Yes. Yes.
And how long did that go on for?
It could be in there.
Yes, okay. Well, I'm getting it now. Yeah. So now we're in 1945.
Right.
And so the war is still on.
Yeah.
And you're doing your initial training there. And that goes into March. So the war is still on now, 1945. And in April.
I know Peter went on to 26 Squadron.
Right.
That's all I remember of the beginning. Okay.
So this is, the interesting thing here is that there are a lot of hours, and when you started in February 1945 here,
yeah,
you already had 14 hours and 35 minutes.
Yeah, what was that, solo?
This was total hours.
Total hours, yeah.
But a lot of, it looks as though a lot of that was your own stuff, solo.
Yeah.
And by the time we get to March, April, in total you've done 54 hours, 59 hours. Sixty-six hours we're at. It looks as though on the Tiger Moth you did 83 hours.
Mm.
So you did quite a lot of stuff on that. And of that, 31 was solo.
Mm.
Then you went on to the Harvard. Do you remember the Harvard?
Yeah, I do, yes.
What do you remember most about the Harvard? This is at Cranwell.
Very noisy aeroplane.
I was just going to say that, yes.
I was pleasant enough. God, I'm useless.
It's okay. We can just go through this as a prompt,
yeah,
because it's clear from this that you started in May 45, so straight on from the Tiger Moth,
yeah,
onto the Harvard, and the amount of flying you did there. So from, right, so on the Tiger Moth you've done 83, well, altogether.
Yeah.
Then you went on to the Harvard, and by the time you'd finished with the Harvard, you'd done 158 hours. That was pretty good. And then you went on to the Anson. So we're on twin engine now. What do you remember about that?
In very, very little. Anson twin engine aircraft.
Why do you think you went from the Harvard onto twin engine? Was it that you were destined to go to bombers?
I'm sorry about this. I have the faintest idea.
We'll have a break for a moment. This conversation has been with Mr. Peter Latham and his wife Barbara on Wednesday, the 3rd of February 2016. Peter is suffering from dementia, so his wife has interjected on a number of occasions. We probably will be able to have a second stab at this, but in the meantime, we're assembling more information. The curiosity partly is that he went to university in Cambridge in 1943, which was the middle of the war, which is quite unusual, and he was trained in the University Air Squadron. The other items will be filled in a bit later.